The Low Post is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
Welcome to the Hoop Collective Low Post crossover. We are moments after an exciting, one of the best finals games in recent memory. Game five, the Heat eke it out to live another day. And joining Zach and I tonight, now, Chris Bosch, it wasn't quite Bosch to Allen for three. I don't think it was quite Bosch to Allen, but this is up there with one of the biggest Heat wins in history. I mean,
for sure.
It's an incredible game. What'd you think of it?
Man, you know, it's started to be one of those series that's just kind of grinding to a halt. Everything you thought that was going to happen is not happening. Everything, every player that you thought was going to give this particular stat line, it's not really transpiring right now. But, I mean, you have to give all credit to the Heat. And I kept telling people this. And you know, in all these interviews, you know how it can get, the Lakers, it's over. They've got the uniforms on. And I just like, okay, yeah, the Heat don't want to be here. But let me tell you something. These guys, if there's anybody who would embrace a difficult situation, it is Eric Spoelstra. And Jimmy Butler seems to really thrive off of that and anticipate that and expect it. So it's kind of like a marker. When things are really hard, it's you know, it's like they say, oh, hey, yeah, we're here now. We're supposed to be competing for a championship. This is how it's supposed to be. And you know, it's just all about survival now. And they've lived to play another day, and that's what you got to do.
I think it's time to just acknowledge once and for all that the Heat have become a great team. You know, there was always this question of, did they benefit from the hiatus, or did the hiatus and everything, the bubble, shake the Bucks more than other teams? Did they benefit from Hayward getting injured? Are they really this good? And you know, this Lakers team has lost one game in every playoff series until now, and they have now lost two to a Heat team that is missing its leading postseason scorer until this series in Goran Dragic. Yeah. And I think it's time to acknowledge Jimmy Butler. You know, is he a top 10 player? Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to rearrange the rankings because this dude just put up 35, 12, and 11 in 47 minutes. 47 minutes and survived.
47 and a half.
Whatever it is, it's the game. That's he crazy. Played the whole game, and they survived a 13-7 on 15 of 21 masterpiece from LeBron James. We can talk about the end of the game if you want. Everyone's going to focus on the end of the game, but the Heat put themselves in position to win at the end of the game. Duncan Robinson was unbelievable. Their shot making was outstanding, and this team just keeps and with Bam Adebayo clearly not 100%, missing layups, missing dunks.
He can play better. He can play better.
It's time to acknowledge the Heat are for real.
And just like you were saying, they're shorthanded too. So, you know, you need to keep that in mind. You can only imagine how the series would be a little different if Goran was out there. And not that he's just going to be that dominating presence, but he gives them another layer to their attack. And, you know, they have that team cohesion down pat. And, I mean, I don't really know where the lapses with the Lakers are happening with Duncan Robinson. He's making them pay every time. I mean, he's moving himself up into elite company every game because you don't expect him to think, you know, you don't think he's going to continue to go on the streak that he's gone on. But, and you eventually figure that a veteran is going to get into him and just chase him to the bathroom. but it hasn't happened yet, and I mean they're making them pay every single time. And boy, I tell you, we'll see what happens Game Six. I'm eager to see it, especially with AD hobbled a little bit, man. We're gonna see how it happens.
That's one of the big stories. Wendy, we should probably get to is
well.
Is,
let's talk about the end of the game real quick.
Okay.
So Frank Vogel, the Lakers coach, has come out after this game and said that there were bad calls at the end. Jimmy Butler getting to the line. I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree. He's probably going to get fined. So Lakers, you know, Lakers up one, Heat ball. They run a beautiful, fast play for Jimmy Butler. He gets a, he screens.
Very good play.
LeBron, not AD on him because AD wasn't moving so well. So they put LeBron on him. Screen LeBron, and AD goes up, but Jeff Van Gundy called it on the broadcast. He floats a CB. I mean,
yeah,
you've been in verticality your whole career. Frank Vogel helped invent it with Roy Hibbert, but he floats. He fouls him, right? That's a foul.
Yeah, it's a foul. He jumped into him. You know, good call by the refs, and you have to give, you know, usually referees are getting a tough time. I think they called it a great game today. You can always look on both sides and say, well, but if they're even and the game is tied and the players, they're the ones who are dictating what happens out there. Hopefully the game isn't called, you know, at the end by, you know, free throws or anything like that. But all in all, it was an evenly called game, I feel.
Free throws were almost exactly even.
Yeah, each team had their opportunities. And, I mean, man, Jimmy Butler, he's continuing to do it, man. You got to give him props. He's going to make you give him props. I mean, he put them on his back in those last minutes, man. I mean, he's hitting one-legged fadeaways.
Yeah.
You know, he's hitting the free throws down the stretch, two dribble pull-ups. I mean, he's got
to shoot free
game.
Throws when you're that exhausted and not miss them. I mean, he was so tired.
Did you think for a second he was going to miss either of them? Like, I just chalk it up, two of two.
Of course. You think he's going to miss one? Because as a player, I know how I would feel. I'm going to miss one if I'm that tired. You
okay,
know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Like him going over when he was leaned over, panting after getting fouled. You know, they burned a timeout after that, but him just still being able to muster up whatever he could and having the concentration.
If Spo still had Chris Bosh on his roster, he would have run that play where you went to the backside in the corner.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You know Spo. Come on.
You ran that play for last second shot several times.
Yeah.
So, okay, so he makes the two free throws, come down. They call timeout. Again, Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, excellent call on this game, all over this. Danny Green is in the game. They know Duncan Robinson is on Danny Green. They know that they're going to run the screen to try to force Duncan Robinson. They know that there's going to be a double with LeBron. That's exactly what happens. LeBron drives. Zach, he drives into a crowd. There's three and a half guys there. He makes the basketball play, Chris Bosh, which he has made for 15 years since he's been starting in the playoffs.
For sure.
He throws it to the open guy. Danny Green is a 38% three-point shooter from that spot, according to Second Spectrum. He is wide open, so I'll throw him another couple percentage points.
Yeah.
And he missed it.
Well, I know Danny wants that one back. You know, he made the right play. It was a crowd. I think that he had the mentality to say, you're not going to beat us. We're sending everything in the kitchen sink, and we're just going to close to the shooters. They got the play that they were looking for. It was a tremendous play. Danny Green slipped out. You could kind of tell that the Heat were anticipating that play. You know, Bron was still able to make a very decent pass out to Danny Green. He got his hands on it. He stepped right into it. Any other time, 9 times out of 10, he'll make that shot. You know, he missed it. What the interesting thing was on the rebound, Markieff Morris, he had plenty of time, and he kind of made a quick decision. And he had Bron open on the right wing, which is always easy to say. And you usually, you throw it up to AD, but he had another big on him, you know, and that was just, man, that was a tough play, man. It was a very tough sequence.
I know they were watching film. I'm watching it again now.
You know, Markieff also had Danny Green, like he could just handed the ball.
Yeah, he could have handed it off again. Yeah, Danny was right there.
It's funny though, when he threw the lob, as he threw it, I looked under the rim and I saw AD. And I thought, again, the ball's just out of his hand in midair. I thought, Okay, I don't hate that decision because AD might get I'm putting the referees in play a little bit there, down one. And then, of course, the pass was not an accurate pass.
He choked, right? Let's just say he choked. I'm not saying I would say that to Markieff's face in this exact moment.
You would not. No. Do not say that. Brian, don't say that to Markieff's face. Don't do it.
He choked. You know, what do you want to say? He choked, you know?
Well, he also, as you pointed out before we started, you know, they were setting the screen that they set for Jimmy on the go ahead free throws. It was a flat screen by Crowder, and the flat screen is designed, you know, Chris knows this, when you're facing half court, it's designed to make the defense guess like which way is he going to go, which way.
And Mark switching the pick. He went from an angle to switching to that flat kind of, it's this weird in between space. And if you don't, if you're not demonstrative about your coverage, you'll get exploited.
And Markieff guessed wrong, and Jimmy went the other way. But Bose had
that in his pocket. He knows about that one.
Well, he went left. Jimmy would typically go right. He went left.
I just want to say on the Danny Green shot. I mean, I guess LeBron's going to be playing at the Y or whatever kind of court he has access to at his wealth level.
He just bought a $40 million estate that he's going to tear down. He's not
going to be hosting games on that when he's 85 years old, and he's going to get quadruple teamed, and he's going to pass to an open man. And like the dudes watching in the bleachers are going to be like, well, he's got to take the shot. And like, I'm watching it right now. Danny Green's wide open. LeBron drives pretty far into the lane. And for a second, it looks like he might have a drop off to AD. But Andre crashes that passing lane off the corner and then makes an incredible rotation out to Danny Green. If he kicks it to the corner where Caldwell Pope is, Andre is going to rotate back there and has a chance actually to deflect the pass. Right. The Danny Green pass is the best option.
It's the right play.
It's a little low because it's an insanely hard, like directly backward pass. But we've been doing this for 17 years, and if Danny Green makes that shot, this is the ultimate test. If he makes that shot, a lot of the same people are like, what a brilliant play by LeBron. Unselfish. This is why he's a leader. This is why they're champions, blah, blah, blah.
Of course. I mean, you know, he's going to make the play. And you could kind of tell that they were going to go back to that. You know, like we said before, Danny Green slipping out puts them in a bind. Duncan Robinson, you know, made the decision to stay in, I guess, more on the ball than rotating to Danny Green. And, I mean, you could tell Bron wanted to shoot it and look at AD, but he went to his last option. I hate to say last option because I don't want it to make it seem
but
like
his
it
last
was,
his progression, right? That's the progression.
You know, one, shot, AD, Danny Green. And, I mean, look – any other time, Danny Green's knocking down that shot. If it comes down to game six, Danny Green gets that shot, it's probably going to go in. So,
well, the Laker fans are going to be sensitive here because Danny Green has not shot the ball well in the bubble, and particularly all season, frankly. He hasn't had a great season. And I'm thinking in my head, here's the narrative. Like, they're in the huddle because this is what we do, Chris.
Okay.
Thinking about the story, you know, but like when Mark Jackson says Danny Green's coming in the game, I'm thinking, well, Danny Green is probably going to get this shot, and it's going to be Danny Green who's really missed everything, who's going to be the hero. And I see as the ball is going out to the top of the key.
Yeah,
I know it's going. Danny Green isn't even on the screen yet. I know where it's going, and I think, well, here it is. It's going to be.
Yeah, you've watched
so
many games, right? You're like, oh yeah, this is what's going to happen when this. Yeah, it's lining up perfectly.
Well, CB has seen Danny Green hit some threes in the finals before. He's also blocked Danny Green on a three in the finals before.
True.
Maybe the greatest block the greatest block in Heat history. It might be. It's up there.
Well, either way, look. A guy like Danny Green, you know that he's really not going to miss too many shots. And even if he is in a slump, you don't want that guy shooting that shot at that moment in time in the game, you know. So, you know, you toss it up at the end of the game. It's crazy things happening. If you're the Heat, you get out of there any way you can. It's just about survival. If you're the Lakers, I mean, it's just about taking the punches. You know, you're going to hear from the media, you're going to hear from everybody. It's a part about being a Laker. You know, they're going to have to figure out some with AD, whatever's going on with his ankle. He seems to have been, you know, if a guy's hobbling like that, it's some kind of nagging injury, right? So
He didn't really get hit that hard in the initial thing, so he must have been really tender.
For sure. A little tender, you played, man.
You know, and this happened with Adebayo, too. You know, Adebayo is clearly not right. I mean, you've played in a playoff series, big playoff series, with coming back from injury. So you
elimination games, like season on the line, maybe like big three on the line games.
Yeah, they sound way cooler than it really is. It's just a lot of pressure and a lot of pain, man.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning, wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low impact class, they've got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
When you're in that timeout, so the Lakers have this timeout, 16 seconds left. You've been in these huddles, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
You got LeBron on your team. It's a playoff game. Like, what is said in that timeout? What's the you know LeBron's going to have the ball.
Yeah.
What's it like?
It's more so it's a moment of silence a little bit. The only thing you hear everybody is all your attention is directed on the play call. You want to get every detail right to make sure you know what play that we're running and where you are and what you're going to do. Then as you're walking out, usually you're thinking about things, possible scenarios that could happen. And if they do happen, what you're going to do. And then you just have to execute. It's not as dramatic or tense or anything. It's usually okay, everybody listen up, everybody's gonna listen, and you know you need to focus all your attention on this play is the most important thing right now, you know. So that always kind of made it a little easy, and then after, you know, chaos happens.
So I thought LeBron's best, in my view, best duel in a playoff game in his career was against Paul Pierce, 2008, Game 7, the 4-seed Cavs versus 1-seed eventual champion Celtics in TD Garden, whatever it was called then. LeBron scores 45, Paul Pierce scores 41. Classic game.
Yeah.
Delonte West had a 3 from the wing that I thought was going in that would have changed the game, but it did not. This was right there. Jimmy Butler, LeBron. I mean, they didn't both score 40. LeBron had 40, Bimmy had 35, but it's right there. I mean, and considering it's in the finals, elimination game, it might be his best man-on-man duel.
I think that's what makes it cool. And I think just the narrative of Jimmy not backing down and them kind of getting into it, and which is great. But them kind of really just taking the onus of being that 1-2 punch. It obviously being a head-up matchup. And, of course, we know that it's a team sport, but to watch two guys just really dueling it out and doing whatever it takes to get the job done is amazing. And like I say, this is Jimmy's, man. This is turning into Jimmy's show. He is really taking the bull by the horns on this one. You got to give him credit.
Well, they went shot for shot. They went shot for shot in the last 2 minutes of the game. And, you know, for all the hullabaloo that may happen about LeBron passing to Danny Green,
I just don't care about that.
Well, he had two layups in the last 90 seconds of the game, including an and one. And Jimmy matched him shot for shot. It's one of those games.
Who's been shaky on free throws. He's had one of his worst free throw shooting seasons. He's under 70%. He made clutch free throws in this game. I don't – honestly – If anybody wants to argue about LeBron throwing that pass, go somewhere else than me. I'm not interested.
All right, so what are you interested in? Let's keep talking.
I thought Kendrick Nunn was great in this game.
Yeah.
And I thought a defining moment in the game, the Heat go sort of cold in the third quarter. They have 3 possessions. They only scored like 3 different possessions out of like 10. But one was a 6-point possession, and then they had 2 4-point plays. those 14 points got them the lead into the, going into the third quarter. And the Lakers are 56-0 this year when they're winning after three, and there's some ungodly record. And you know, those three possessions, that's the difference in the game.
You know? Did they come into the fourth quarter with the lead? The Heat.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, hey man. Those are the game within the game, right?
Can I talk about one of those possessions for 2 seconds?
Yeah.
It's the Jimmy Butler flagrant one where Dwight clocks him in the head, and I agree with Van Gundy. Actually, I think Dwight would have gotten ejected from a regular season game for that play. So everyone will remember the flagrant on the extra possession. Tyler Hero runs a pick and roll with Jimmy, misses a floater, Bam's down in the dunker spot. The spacing is that great. And Jimmy outworks and outleaps Anthony Davis for an offensive rebound that leads to a Duncan Robinson three. When people talk about Jimmy Butler making winning plays, when he says, I don't care what my stats are, I make winning plays, that's Anthony Davis. The dude is like way taller and longer than you. And he just flat out took a rebound from him. Duncan Robinson got the most open threes had maybe the whole series, and they go up by six after the Lakers had tied the game. And you know, Wendy and CB, like every time the Lakers tie the game, when they take the 1 point lead, it feels like, oh, here it is. Here right. it is. Here it's going to happen. And the Heat just keep on coming.
Yeah, it was a couple weird sequences, even when long three from the corner, not the corner, but the wing on the left side by Anthony Davis. Yeah, if he makes it, they go up six, but he doesn't. You know, the Heat cut it to one, you know, get a stop, boom, they take the lead, and now we got that back and forth thing going in the last couple minutes. I mean, you know, these guys just keep coming. And one of the things that I know, just of course with playing with the team and being in the organization, and it trickles down from Pat Riley, and Spo knows this too. If you're in the finals, you don't really just chalk it up and say, we're down 3-0 or 3-1. It's over. We lost. You continue to compete. You continue to win the next game because it's so hard to get there. It's so difficult to try and achieve your goal, just even to get there. And then even if you get there, you only have a chance. So it's a lot of, I know for sure, with UD, with Spo, DC, Quinny, all those guys, they're preaching the same message. We don't get here to lose, and you don't get here just to chalk it up and just kind of throw your hands up if things aren't going your way. When things get hard, they're going to continue to push and make you earn every win that you get against those guys.
Well, it was a terrific game. I guess we'll see where Anthony Davis is. I guess we'll see how that heel feels. It's a vital moment for him. You know, if they don't, you know, this game, the Lakers non-LeBron AD guys shot 14 of 46. So,
non-LeBron guys, 8 of 29 from 3, excluding LeBron's 6 of 9 performance from 3. And it just, every one of those 6 threes felt gigantic.
It is tough to lose a game where LeBron goes 6 of 9 on 3.
One of them came when the Heat, I believe, had opened an 11-point lead. He hit one to get it down to 8. He just has a great feel for when you just need something. And
I mean, the Lakers shot 55% in the first half of this game, and they were losing. I mean, the Heat are, as you said at the very top of this, Zach, the Heat, I don't know if it's as simple as saying the Heat have figured something out, but they've won two of the last three games, and the game that they lost was a 6-point loss. And game two, they couldn't make anything. So the last four games are 2-2, and, you know, it could have gone either way. So I suspect we may see two more of those if we get two more of them. I don't think Heat are going away, and I think they probably will have some confidence. So, Chris, what do you expect Sunday night, game six?
Ooh, boy. I mean, man, I expected the Heat to have a really great showing, win or lose tonight, game six. I think they know they can play better. I think Bam knows he can play better. I know that Tyler Hero knows he can play a little bit better. You get out of here with the win. You take it, but just as far as like contributing and being aggressive and really putting a print on the game on both ends, I know those guys, you know they can do better. I mean, you know, the Lakers, they've come out casual. You know, every time they come out casual, if they're coming out with a purpose, if they're coming out really just trying to dominate you, then it's nothing much you can do. If they're coming out casual and kind of sparring with you, it gives you a shot. So, I mean, I really look for the Heat to just really continue being aggressive. I mean, Duncan Robinson, they're going to have to react to him. He's killing them right now. So, if I'm the Heat, I'm looking forward to countering a lot of fake handoffs, a lot of slips.
They were definitely doing
going
that.
In that paint. Just really, really build off that. And, man, just get one more.
That's
it's
going to
be
like,
hard for our game.
Like, if you get one more, it doesn't matter if you were down 3-1, if it looked like a coronation. You get one more, it is DEFCON 1 for the Lakers.
It's, for sure.
Is LeBron going to blow a 3-1 lead after overcoming a 3-1 deficit? It's, what does this mean for LeBron's legacy? It's all the noise and all the pressure, and it's one game. And, like, you know, you've played Game 7, CB. Game 7 is like – I mean, like, that's the Shane Battier hit 6 threes game, or the Mike Miller hits 6 threes, man, whatever it is. Like, one dude, like Tyler Hero, has another crazy game. And all of a sudden,
it happens like you don't think it'll happen. Any game seven that you've watched, what you thought was going to happen never happens every single time.
And I remember Chris Bosh hitting like 5 threes back when before you shot threes in a game.
that was a good night against San Antonio. Didn't score at all, you know, and I got in early foul trouble, and you just got to find a way to win. But I think all in all, if you're LA, you want to have a different focus. Whatever they were doing before wasn't working. You definitely have to get Rondo activated, and
Rondo gave him nothing tonight. They're like,
well,
the other
question
that's
I have
a tough
for them,
one.
If there's a card left to play for them, it's just Dwight has not been able to put his imprint. He's got Jay Crowder on him in the last two games. He got a couple offensive rebounds. He hasn't been able to put his imprint on the game. They're targeting him defensively. He's a little hit or miss. I wonder if that's the card he has left to play. Is start AD at center from the jump.
That might be it. But, I mean, and tell me this. I mean, and I don't mean to go old school, but what happened to throwing the big a bone? You know what I'm saying? The White's out there. He's just picking and rolling. He's just playing defense on guards, guarding a bunch of screen and rolls to keep him psychologically in the game, to throw it down there to him so he can exploit a mismatch and allow him to get a shot on the basket. It's so mind-freeing. For a big to know that at least I'm going to get one touch a half.
you know, that's one of the things my 17 years covering the NBA, the more big men I talk to, they always feel that exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
to AD's credit, though, AD got a couple of rim runs and post-ups, you know, as the Lakers got back in the game and drew some fouls. I think he should be doing more of that with Butler.
He can definitely be more aggressive. If he's healthy. But I think they can get him more on the move. I mean, you know, yes, he's bigger and stronger than a two or a three or any other four person in the league. But, I mean, he's taking a beating. They're banging him a lot. He's taking a lot of hits. It's just straight up post-up action with no movement. I feel they could really benefit from getting him on the move, and then he can really take advantage of mismatches 15, 17 feet away from the basket. I know what it felt like years ago to guard him. Him at 17 to 15 feet, it's nothing you can do. But if he's got his back to the basket and I can use my hand and my forearms and kind of, you know, be a little bit more physical than usual, then that's going to help me, you know, more than it usually would. I think they can, you know, get him in a position to be more effective.
All right, so I think game six will be about recovery. How is AD feeling? How is Bam feeling? I think LeBron will be okay.
Yeah, LeBron will be fine. He, you know, he's the superhuman.
how is Jimmy feeling? Because Jimmy was a little slow in game four after that big game three, and he had 2 days off for this one, only 1 day off for Sunday. All right, thank you to Chris Bosch, NBA champion.
Thanks, CB.
Future Hall of Famer, appreciate record producer, guys, author. Thank you for sending it. Thank you to Zach. Thank you to Troy and Andrew Hahn, who produced this. Thank you for listening. Really enjoyed this one. Here comes game six.